Welcome to the Yemei Ratzon audio series with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Ringel, and today our learning will travel through Yom Kippur's final moments. Seats in the shul are filled, faces hidden behind prayer books, tears streaming down cheeks. A palpable urgency and energy is in the air. The last moments of Yom Kippur are met with our deepest emotions and aspirations, as it seems we can let nothing stand in the way of our tefillot, our prayers, and the open heavens. The Maggid of Lublin compares these moments to a hunter who had lost his way in the forest. Upon hearing a noise in the distance, fearing it may be a lion or a wild animal, he quickly shoots an arrow toward the sound, only to find a dry bush. Soon after, he sees movement and shoots again, only to find his target to be some leaves rustling in the wind. Soon enough, he is left with only one arrow, and indeed he recognizes the movement, shape, and roar of a lion. The focus, intention, and attention with which he sets up this last shot, knowing it is his last arrow, and it is indeed one which holds in it a story of life or death. So too we stand at the end of this 40-day period that began with the advent of the month of Elul. We have shot many arrows with prayers, supplications, charity, and being extra careful in our observances. This, however, is our last arrow of the night, and we do indeed put all of our focus and attention into making the shot. This popular approach to Ne'ilah, the final moments before the special opportunities available on Yom Kippur end and the heavenly gates close, is one that resonates with us all. If you would open your minds and your hearts to exploring with me another perspective to these last few moments of this holy day. After the silent Amidah and its repetition by the Chazan, we have a sort of conclusive ceremony. First, we recite in unison the verse of the Shema. Then we say aloud three times a phrase that we are only able to whisper all year long, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Ve'ed. Blessed is the name of the Lord, of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. And finally, we declare Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem is the true God, seven times. The Kaddish is then recited, and we blow the shofar and proclaim L'Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim, in the coming year in Jerusalem. Why this closing ceremony? We have learned that on Yom Kippur, we are elevated to the level of malachim, of angels, in some respect. We abstain from eating and drinking and immerse ourselves in prayer and connecting with God. The Talmud tells us that we appear, quote-unquote, before Hashem and emerge from this day with an atonement and in a purified and cleansed state. Ne'ilah is not only the closing of the Yom Kippur day, it is also the transition back into, let's call it humanity, from the elevated, quote-unquote, angelic state. Revolbi explains that when a spaceship re-enters the atmosphere, it must be done at a very specific angle, or it will implode and self-destruct, losing its crew and all of the information gleaned from outer space. He explains that at the closing of Yom Kippur, we too must re-enter the mundane world at a precise angle and in a specific way to ensure that we can maintain and implement the Kedusha, the inspiration and sanctity that we have acquired over Yom Kippur and the preceding 40 days of growth. Rabbi Samson Rafael Hirsch, too, notes that the Ne'ilah prayer is a recap of the Yom Kippur prayer service and is a message to now take with us to serve God in our daily, day-to-day living. How is this accomplished through these verses? Well, in unison, we first recite the verse, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem, our God, Hashem is one. It is our pledge of allegiance, our loyalty, and commitment to serve God. It is our mission statement in accepting upon ourselves the heavenly yoke incumbent upon every Jewish man and woman. It is a universal truth of the singularity of our God in the universe. We refer to both Hashem, the Tetragrammaton, which is noted to refer to the merciful aspects of God, as well as to the name Elohim, referring to the aspect of judgment, the way we experience him, of course. And we declare Echad, they are one, especially powerful after a year like this past one, where we have indeed experienced the Hashem and the Elohim. Then we recite the phrase, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed, three times. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. The name of his kingdom, in the world, in the universe. Since we were small, we were taught to whisper these words as they belong to the angels. But on Yom Kippur, when we are elevated to the angelic levels in some ways, then we are able to say them aloud. Let's go back to the original story. The Midrash in Devarim Rabba tells us that Moshe, when he ascended to the heavens, after the initial events at Mount Sinai, when the Jewish people proclaimed our complete devotion to fulfilling God's words, and we said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do, and then we will listen, learn, understand. While in the heavens, Moshe hears the angel saying this phrase of Baruch Shem Kavod, and he brings it down. Once he descends, though, the Midrash seems to change its tone and to compare the phrase to a stolen jewel from a palace that should not be worn or used in public. Why so? There's a Midrash in Yechezkel that I believe will explain the origin of this phrase. It explains that when the Jewish people stand true to their mission in the world and declare the Shema, the accepting of the heavenly yoke, and committing ourselves and our lives to the words of Torah through our free choice, through our moral freedoms, then the angels in heaven look upon us and respond with a sort of admission in this very phrase of Baruch Shem Kavod. The angels are in a sense silenced. They lower their wings. When we as humans dedicate ourselves to the service of Hashem through our free choice, they recognize that they lack in free choice and cannot attain that level. The angels recognize that the Malchut Hashem, God's dominion and kingdom, will ultimately and ideally be recognized in the realm of mankind and not in the heavenly spheres where they stand tall, but they cannot serve God through choice. Mankind, fulfilling divine will lead the world to its ultimate purpose, more so than the angels doing so, as we will do it by choice. It is as if we were privy to hear what was being said about us in the heavenly spheres when we were performing at our potential. So Moshe took this phrase down to us. At that time, it did indeed accurately describe our state of being, as we just committed to God with the words Na'aseh v'nishma. We made the choice to commit to filling the world with the greatest display of God's kingdom by fulfilling his will, the Torah. When Moshe descended and found the golden calf, we had chosen otherwise at that moment. We had fallen from the heights of performing the divine will at that level and in a way lost our rights to utilize this phrase of Baruch Shem Kavod. Yom Kippur, an apropos day to highlight this. It is a supernatural day where the possibility of teshuva, repentance, is highlighted. Teshuva, repentance, is also a function of choice, which is unique to mankind. After all, our choices create our reality. And think just how many choices, large and small, we make each day. Each choice is an opportunity. And teshuva, repentance, is the ability to create a new reality by choosing differently with regards to the past and dissociating oneself from sin, even after the fact. So teshuva, too, is a function of choice. We declare aloud, Baruch Shem Kavod, three times on Yom Kippur, to declare God's kingdom in the present, the past, and the future. This too can be related to the phrase Baruch Shem with regards to us, the Jewish people. We stood worthy of this angelic recognition on Mount Sinai when we received the Torah, and we stand worthy on Yom Kippur when we abstain from earthly pleasures and immerse ourselves in closeness to God, attaining an angelic state. And we conclude the day believing that we will again one day reach that place where through our choice we enable consistent, ultimate realization of the godly kingdom in this world. And the angels will join us as they did in the Midrash in recognizing that it is through our choices and actions and not abstaining that we can bring the greatest glory to God in the world. Each Yom Kippur, we take advantage of the spiritual opportunities available to us as we move one step closer to reaching this final goal. Finally, we say the powerful words, Hashem Hu HaElokim. God is the true God, or Hashem is the true God, seven times. Seven times we declare Hashem as true God. Seven is a powerful number in Judaism, and many deep explanations exist for this. Where is this phrase from? It originates in a story in the book of Kings, Kings 1, chapter 18. It is the famous prophet Eliyahu, Elijah, at Mount Carmel. There is a big showdown. It is the time of the king of Ahav, the king of Israel. And there is a showdown between the false prophets of the Baal and Eliyahu, representing God. He implores the Jewish people to finally choose. Choose between God or choose between the Baal and stop swinging. He cries out in verse 21, if Hashem is the God, go after him. And if Baal, then go after him. What does the nation answer? The verse continues, V'lo anu ha'am oto davar. They didn't answer him anything. What? That is an awkward silence if I have ever heard one. Rashi explains, powerful and painful words. Shelo hayu yodim lahavchin, for they did not know how to differentiate. They couldn't make the choice because they didn't know how to tell the difference between the truth and the false, the good and the bad. How often do we slip up to a point where we can't even tell that we are doing something wrong? Eliyahu asks, and God performs an open miracle, a flash revelation. The Jews then see clearly that they can differentiate at that moment and choose God, declaring Hashem Hu Elokim twice. However, within just a few verses, we were unable to maintain that closeness to God, and it faltered. It didn't last. How then is our Yom Kippur proclamation different? The Jews on that day chose Hashem in response to an open miracle, but did not put the work in to learn to differentiate. They chose without investing. When we show up at the conclusion of Yom Kippur, we too are choosing, but we hope and pray that after 40 days of hard work, introspection, investment, and commitment, and a powerful Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, it is an outgrowth, our calling out Hashem Hu Elokim is an outgrowth of a closeness and relationship that we sought out with Hashem and will be a lasting guide to all of our choices through the year. Then we blow the shofar and we sing aloud our hope and our prayer to be in a rebuilt Jerusalem in the coming year. L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. We have been painfully reminded this year that while the gates to heaven will be open to us this Yom Kippur, the gates to Yerushalayim may just be closed to many of us. This year more than ever, we have a responsibility to see these words as a possible reality, but only if we so choose. What better way to conclude our Yom Kippur and transition back into day-to-day reality than to pronounce our belief in Hashem and our commitment to the Torah, restate our belief in ourselves and our ability to be the true subjects of the angelic phrase. It is precisely in our humanity that we bring the greatest glory to God's kingdom. Thank you so much for learning together. This series has been dedicated by Yitzhak and Barbara Lehman Siegel and family in memory of their beloved mother, Rose Siegel, Sara Russa, Bat Raphael, and her beloved sister, Celia Firestein, Cyril Bat Raphael of Baltimore, Maryland. Please visit ou.org/women/YR for a list of our daily sponsors.